Downloads of this show are available on Podomatic.com and the Podomatic mobile app.
I am Velocity Child, and every Friday at the stroke of midnight, ride the broomstick with Fallen Woman. A weekly psychic fusion of forward thoughts, far-out ideas, magical foray, and spellbinding song. Stirring up the cauldron at Radio Free Brooklyn. Velocity Child here at Fallen Woman, and I'm so honored to have my sister sorceress in the house, the Saint Eve, a.k.a. Gabrielle Pinabaz.
How you doing?
Good, how are you? How are things in existential land?
They're existing.
I know existing. That's been your muse.
Yes. Not in a morbid way. I've been thinking about death a lot. Mm-hmm. But not really. Not morbid.
Even though, like, the title of your project is Death is Dangerous.
Yes. Because it is. Because if you have plans, death is such a huge drag. Death is rude. You know, people just drop.
It's a party crasher.
It's such a party crasher. Just when you think you're sailing along, they pluck you. So that's it's one of those things that's always fascinated me. And as I get older, I think about how the average lifespan, say, is 75 years.
Lots of people. I feel like it's like 85.
Now. You know what? Lots of people live way later. But
do you want to be a Centaurian?
Only if I'm really hot and in great physical shape and super healthy. I don't want to be old and, you know what? Old is fine. I never want to be haggard or weak.
Frail.
Never want to be frail. Yeah.
You want to be like hearty and comfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And comfy and happy and occasionally dowdy, but that's in private, you know, but never unhealthy.
Right.
Yeah. So aging isn't a problem particularly, it's health. So, but the fact is in spite of your health, anything can happen, right? At any given moment, some cheap excuse, death comes around. It's like, oh, you're scheduled. So that's how I always thought of it. The schedulers, they're the entities between death mm-hmm. and rebirth. Mm. It's something I've thought about for a long time. And part of the problem was that for me to do a project around it, it was just so huge. It's like I had a million stories and I didn't know how to combine it. Is it just a series of short stories, but it's a lot to explain. And so finally, the other concept that helped me pull it together, that I realized that I had to tell this story, was my life working at a clown company as an office manager.
Uh-huh.
Where really anything can happen.
Yeah, I bet.
Okay. So from that life, so many things mm-hmm. happened. Because I worked there, in a way, is why I met you.
Oh.
My whole life changed. Because before then, I had been a temp. And I had a band. But it was all very separate.
Right.
And suddenly, I had this job where performance was connected enough mm-hmm. that it wasn't just like, oh, okay, here's my day job. Here's how I pay my bills. And then I have my muse situation at night. Instead, it was like, oh, we're booking performers. And I suddenly got this other corporate understanding that I didn't have before. Mm. Basically, I just got a lot of confidence. But then it was through that I managed to just move on to this whole other world. I'm going to write a book about it because we don't have enough time here.
Oh, yeah. So but if memory serves, I remember you were like practically having to run the company yourself.
Well, I was the office manager.
Yeah.
So sure. So one of the things that was really amazing about that job was I learned that adults don't want clowns. So what else can you send them? And one of the things that people are pretty happy to have at their party, just for fun, is a tarot card reader. And I had already mm-hmm. been reading for many, many years at that point. So I was very confident. And I thought, oh, really? You'd pay for that at your husband's 50th birthday party? Great. Or your daughter's bridal shower or whatever. Mm-hmm. There are all these opportunities.
Your son's bar mitzvah.
Exactly. So I don't want to just write about my life as a memoir. I don't think it's actually exciting enough, but it's the philosophy around all of the development. And instead of just being like, and then I thought this, and then I had this realization, I thought it'd be more fun to just simply use those experiences, make amalgams of the people, than trying to be really accurate about one person or another, and then to have to worry
more
about
of
whether
a Capote approach.
Yeah, because the problem is one person, if you're really going to tell this tell-all that's very accurate, what if you get it wrong, and that's a problem? And memory can really melt things together. And it's actually more fun to just tell a better story.
Well, yeah, because you're sharing the experience.
Right. It's the heart of the matter. So I'd rather combine two or three people and then have them serve a story that's much tighter than my actual life.
Right.
But use these experiences as a point to pivot from. Mm. So the idea is that it tells a lot of these experiences in that way. From there, my whole performance situation with my band completely changed. I became much more performative. But then also, I got good at booking other performers, which led to meeting people in the whole vampire goth scene,
mm-hmm.
which led me to Mother, which led me
to
Chichi Valenti, to this whole other world. And so there's this weird mix of psychism, performance, music.
Business acumen,
absolutely. And so with all that going on, there's a lot of opportunity for mayhem. Because
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of ego going on.
Oh, yeah.
So
lots of diva chaos.
A lot of diva chaos and a lot of, especially with the vampires,
mm-hmm.
which is so funny, you know, and it brought me to New Orleans. I can thank Father Sebastian for that.
Mm-hmm.
I'd never been to New Orleans. And through him, I got the opportunity to organize the very first Endless Night.
Uh-huh.
And then he and I were friends, so he let me perform at it a couple years after that. And it was at the House of Blues, which was really fun. Anyway, these are all really good experiences.
Yeah.
There's a lot to cull from. And so in that whole world of New Orleans and this whole vamp scene and clowns and performance and tarot and burlesque, you know, somewhere there's also, you know, what are we doing here on this planet? And certainly there's an opportunity, which I'm still developing, so I don't want to talk about any details for that, but basically to meet the schedulers and to really understand synchronicity from sort of like the back end to go backstage and see how things are run and to try to explain why good people die, why bad things happen to good
or
people.
Or why good people do bad things.
All that stuff.
And why
but also
bad people do good things.
And then also like why is it people expire the way they do.
Right.
And these are fictional answers. They'll be highly offensive to anybody who feels very strongly about
mm-hmm.
anything. I will offend everyone.
You're going to offend everyone anytime.
I'm looking forward to that. Because
part.
It's comedy, I want them to take it all with a grain of salt.
I've been embroiled in writing my own thing for since the coma, like 5 years ago. Six years ago.
Yeah, like why the coma? Why didn't you die?
Right.
You weren't scheduled.
Right. There were so many. Anyway, but my point is, I've held back often because there's that fear of pissing everyone off. I totally understand, like what you just said. I relate.
Well, I decided for myself that there is journal writing
uh-huh.
for myself. And for some people, I think a memoir is apt. Especially if their life is very action-packed. I have these huge lulls.
Because you're a Capricorn and you're responsible.
Well, it's also that I... Well, yeah, like... Oops, sorry.
Oh, that's okay. Don't
like,
that.
taking care of my mother as she was terminally ill, and then, you know.
That's not a lull, though. That's
artistically
high,
it is.
That's high drama.
Sure, it's high drama, but I'm certainly not performing and writing and doing all that stuff.
No, but
and,
you're doing some intense shit.
Yeah, and I want something to come from it, because otherwise, I feel like
why are we here?
Right? You know, I want it to inform me on some level. I want epiphanies. Damn it.
Mm-hmm.
So
your secret special toy surprise.
That's a weird song about fathers.
But to me, that song also had a lot to do with why are we here? And I,
yes.
What am I going to get out of all this? What's the point? This point of existence?
Right. Like, I want the good stuff. That's what that song's really about. That's true. I guess that I got that also from my dad. Like, he was always chasing the good stuff.
He wanted the cheese to be worth the squeeze.
Ooh. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So yes, I want to explain the universe and everything and have it be satisfying to me.
You want to know before you die what the fuck is going on.
So here's my theory.
Yeah.
My theory is that the universe is essentially an entity, a living, breathing thing that is made up of everything in it. So we are as important as Jupiter. Each one of us is a cell in this creation.
Right, we're like an organ in the belly of the beast.
Except that we are the thing as well. Like,
right,
it's like not a separate consciousness. It's actually created in this
But like your brain is you. Your heart is you. Your liver is you.
Right, so I'm thinking in this more like granular way. Which is why a single cell can influence the rest of it.
This is leaning into quantum physics.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Okay, cool. So what does the universe want? We're part of this granular thing. So if enough of us shift, so that's why when some of us...
Balance. I think the universe wants balance.
The universe wants experience. That's my answer. And
maybe
so,
we want balance.
We want balance. We want comfort. We want yum. Yeah, the universe doesn't give a shit about that.
What am I saying?
Yeah, it's what you want. That's cute.
That's cute. Yeah.
The universe wants experience.
Oh, my little cotton socks. Yeah. I stole that. The otter loves saying that. Oh, bless his little cotton socks.
Exactly. Yeah. No, the universe doesn't care.
No.
It wants experience, and if you suffer, it finds it interesting.
Yeah, intriguing.
And so we're soldiers of experience. And so the interesting part of that theory is that we can't fail, because all we do is do our thing exactly in our way, no matter how similar it may be to someone else. If you have a twin, blah, blah, blah. You're still completely an individual. Every cell is individual. Because it's its own thing.
Right.
And so what will kill the universe is if things suddenly become all the same. So it's sort of this hunger for a diverse expression. And so whether you are comfortable and happy or not is your choice. It's not necessarily a given. So you can push it like on the other side, and this is where it's all very humorous. And it all comes from this joke, basically, where, you know, someone did something stupid and then you make a joke like, oh, well, I guess they didn't stand in the smart line right before they're born, ha ha ha, or something. And then I thought, well, what if you do stand in line? What if there is, like, this very bureaucratic process?
Yeah, it's like when someone said, oh, that person definitely got beat with the ugly stick.
Sure.
Yeah. Like,
so imagine if you had to stand in line for these things. And if imagine if before you're born, and this all started off as a joke with our friend Gio Green. I don't know if you know Gio.
Great name.
DJ Gio Milk, he's known. You may know him from costume calls or a bunch of parties. Anyway. So he's hilarious. He's got a great sense of humor, and he's performed a lot with me, and we've been friends for years. And so we were joking about, like, standing in this light. Well, what else do you stand for? Well, you can, you know, what happens if you spend way too much gathering, you know, oh, I can be really smart, and I can fix VCRs in the nude, and oh, look. And you like, put all these things in your basket, and just like here, you can get plucked before you think you're done. So you kind of need to move fast and not just stand around and chat too much, because maybe you'll get perfect beauty, which, by the way, the line is very long for perfect beauty. People love that one. Yeah. And so what happens sometimes is you get that and then you get plucked and you have nothing else. Mm. Or maybe you get that and one other weird skill.
Monroe.
Or you stand in line the whole time. You don't get to the front and you don't get to anything else. And you're just at the mercy of the schedulers. And you're just kind of here with no real special skills. You're just kind of boring. And that can happen. That is an expression. Boring to you is not necessarily boring to the universe. You are special. Right. No matter what.
One man's trash is another man's treasure.
Pretty much. So then what are these experiences and what do they mean? And so... And then it keeps growing. And so the last thing a scheduler wants to do is to incarnate, because they realize that while you're on the other side, it's all very interesting, but is very divorced from emotion. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, look, I could do this with one leg. Oh, that's cool. And then you're here and you're like, ah! Where's my leg? You know, like, right. It's very inconvenient. It's very
disassociative.
Right. It's just like in dreamland. You know, in dreamland, you're like, I don't know, I only had one leg, but it was fine. Like, you're totally divorced from a lot of these things. Or like those terrible dreams where you're on a toilet in front of the Chanel store on Fifth Avenue, but no one really notices. Mm-hmm. You know, like, and that's the other thing. I feel like in dreamscape, it's fair game. Mm-hmm. Anyone without a body can access it. So... that means that you can be alive or dead, and you can access this particular space. You may not run into somebody you know, but you might.
I've often heard that death is like a living dream.
This is why I feel suicide is a bad idea. Because if you go to bed mad, you're not going to necessarily improve your situation, because you're going to have bad dreams.
You're going to carry it into your dream state.
It's why I feel suicide is a bad idea. It does, because the reason people want to commit suicide, I'm going to assume, is to end the pain, end the suffering. Mm-hmm. You're upset, you just want it to end. And the next thing you know, you're repeating, you're looping, you're freaking out, and you can't come back to your physical reality where you have a little bit more control. Because there you are thinking you have no control, and the schedulers take a long cigarette pull and go, fuck you.
Wow.
So, careful with the suicide there. See what you can do while you can.
I've always just said, like, just wait and see how the movie ends, because you're going to get your wish eventually. We're all going to fucking die.
Now, and I'm not talking about terminally ill.
Oh, well, if you're like...
I'm talking about psychologically upset, but otherwise physically
that's
fine.
That's a whole other category. No, I'm talking about like your standard...
someone who's depressed.
Like hardcore depressant on the
bridge. But maybe fairly physically okay. I mean, you might have some physical problem, but maybe it's something that can be healed, but you're depressed. Depression is horrible.
You're going to get your wish. You're going to die anyway. Just stick around and see how the movie ends. You never know. You never fucking... it might be a turn of fortune,
And
fate could step in. It often does at our lowest point.
There is something to be said for pulling yourself up from your bootstraps, which I don't always do all that well. But when I do, I'm happy I did. Damn it,
walk it off.
Oh God, sometimes I feel like I weigh 1,000,000 pounds. So my point is, the book hopefully will be uplifting, but I've been writing a lot about it.
This book called Death is Dangerous.
And then maybe it'll turn into something else.
That's awesome.
So we'll see.
I do think Death is Dangerous is a hilarious title.
Well, you know, just when you're like, I'm just going to kill myself. It's like, I don't know, Death is Dangerous. You might be
It's careful. Somehow confusing while stating the obvious.
Exactly.
So you.
It's just life.
And that makes you think of your sex crimes cabaret that you produced. What was this? 10 years?
Like 8 years ago was the last performance.
Yeah.
Yeah, because
I've been pestering you, so I just have a really big hard on for that show. And listeners, if you're curious, just Google Sex Crimes Cabaret and watch the entire, what is it, like a 20-minute trailer on Vimeo. That's where the real juice is. And expound, please. Tell us a bit about.
Well, there's an actual trailer that's like 4 minutes. Yeah, but there was like a 20-minute.
But I like the 20-minute one. Well, that's the one I tell people about it.
A third of the show.
I tell a lot of my friends about it. When I tell them about it, I make them watch the 20-minute one.
Oh, that's interesting.
I do. And they're thrilled.
Yeah, it's like a third of the show because it was only an hour long. And
the 20-minute one, you'll laugh your ass off. It's so funny.
Yeah, so what I'd like to do is update it.
Mm-hmm.
And also,
you called it Sex Crimes Cabaret 2.0.
It would have to be, because it was so long ago. Barack Obama was president, and it was cute.
So much has changed. There's so much more to talk about.
Yeah, and here's the difference. So
please tell me you're doing a grab by the pussy piece. Ooh, how exciting. Or Stormy Daniels.
Here's the thing that's interesting to me as a challenge. And the challenge is this. So I originally did the show because I learned that we had all these weird sex laws back in like 2006 that were just vestigial things like dildos being illegal in a bunch of states. And then I started to learn about
You have a friend who got busted with dildos in Texas?
I met her later and she's an acquaintance. Okay. Tristan Taormino. Did a really fun piece.
She's wonderful.
Yeah, she's a great speaker. She's a wonderful author. She was in Texas with more than 7 sex toys in her bag.
And, oh my God, that's it? Well, it was lucky number 7?
Pretty much.
Wow.
And they stopped her at the airport and they said...
7 deadly sins.
It's intent to... Basically, it signals intent to distribute...
Oh.
And I love that it was drug language. And I just thought, what?
Intent what? To distribute.
What? Yeah. Okay. So then I started looking up other stuff. And I started to learn about, like, the anti-gay laws and, like, the miscegenation laws were...
Lysol, too.
Well, that was abortion.
You taught me about the Lysol, too.
Okay, so this is an interesting point.
But it wasn't just abortion that women went on to, like, douche with this shit.
Well, they... Abortion was illegal, so that was an option.
Yeah.
So basically the thing that was key in the way I wrote Sex Crimes Cabaret was that I didn't want to man bash. It was really important.
No, I found that it was extreme. You were extremely sex neutral and very fair.
Very.
You addressed everyone like fair. They were all human beings.
Yep.
Yep.
So you could be trans, gay, blah, 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 any gender.
Straight white man.
Anything. Right. I just talked to you, the audience, and you are whatever
human.
You are.
You, the human being.
Very human. Exactly. And so here are these laws, and this is what happened, and this is interesting. So when I talked about...
Your monologues, by the way, were a lot like a super being coming in and explaining things to all the humans.
I love that you think of her as a super being.
It was sort of like that. Like
in my
alien,
mind, she was
like
a...
an alien an alien who invaded some femme fatale's body. And had possessed her, and she came down to the planet to explain to everybody what the fuck's going on.
I love that. Yeah. That's so much better than what it was, which is, it was basically an all-knowing madam.
She was very hot.
She was a very reliable narrator.
High glamour.
Very high glamour, yes. Because I was trying to think of, well, who would know this subject matter and not be intimidating? Because at first I thought maybe it'd be fun like a cop? Or a lawyer, or a judge, and I thought, oh God,
all authority figures.
Yeah, well, so's a madam.
But
I wanted it to be, I don't know, warmer.
Yeah.
So, and then later, I had a lawyer, Diana Adams, come in and do a bit, and then we had Tigger be the victim and the cop in his piece.
Yes.
Which is so great. He arrests himself, basically.
And Juliette Lemieux with the condom.
She's in the... Well, I mean, there are so many great people in it who helped me out. So it's basically, Sex Crimes Cabaret was a multimedia cabaret with short stories done with short films, all these little segments, sketches, and songs. So it's a variety show with a theme, basically sex laws through history.
Right.
And it included some current events. But then things started to pick up while I did the show. So sometimes something would happen that day and I would have to quickly throw together a bit and put it in at night. So it was tricky, a little bit like the way talk shows today have to deal with news during the day and come up with funny stuff.
Well, now you have Me Too to work with, too.
Well, here's the thing. So Sex Crimes Cabaret was super neutral, and that was what made it really fun. Because I didn't feel like I was offending anyone. I simply wanted to give the information. And then you decide whatever you want, audience. Mm-hmm. I talked about the Catholic Church. And I was like, oh, that seems really far off. Well, in the United States, and then
Congress.
All that stuff. Lots of legal stuff. Very well researched.
Yes. Oh, I know.
All of it. Abstinence was actually a Clinton thing. You know?
Nothing if not thorough.
Super thorough, and also not trying to be bipartisan, because there were things that happened under the Democrats' watch that people would like to blame the Republicans for. But it's just corporations, corruption, business, and
1%.
Sure, however you want to look at it, these are the laws that happened. These are the laws that we allowed.
Right.
And that we thought were gone, but when they're there, they can be drummed up. So a lot of them were struck off the books, but there's still trouble.
But when elections are messed with, are we really allowing them?
No. It's just a lot of work. It's a lot of work to make something go away.
Right.
So people just kind of hope they don't get enforced. But then suddenly they're getting enforced because they're useful for some other reason.
Remember like the cabaret laws in Giuliani era in New York City?
That's exactly right. So the cabaret laws were originally to get white women out of Harlem. Mm-hmm. So they charged these poor club owners a huge fee and told them, oh, if you want people to dance, you need to pay a cabaret law fee.
Right.
And it was three people or more moving in a rhythmic manner. So one joke, one club, that's the rule.
Oh my God.
So one club I remember had terrible music and everybody just danced like really terribly or something. it's like, I don't think these are rhythmic people here. There's all kinds of stuff that happened with that. But just when you thought it would never resurface, it happened a little bit in the 80s when they wanted to get rid of a club. And then Giuliani brought it back big time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
vengeance.
So that's the problem with laws, is that they can be used for things. It's sort of like the cat litter law or clause in a lease, where a landlord knows that people are going to have pets.
Mm-hmm.
They say, oh, don't worry about it. Yeah, it's in the lease, but don't worry about it. You can bring your cat. I know you're not going to flush cat litter down the toilet. And then if they decide to get you out, they can say you broke your lease. You have a cat. You know.
Oh.
Kind of, it's one of those things. So there's all this stuff. The problem with Me Too is that, it happens to men, but, you know, it's more of a lady thing.
Well, yeah, because there's a whole power structure with the patriarchy.
Sure. I need to figure out how to do that in a way that is still entertaining and fun and gets my point across.
Well,
and that's what I'm working on. That's one of the things I'm working on.
To be fair, men aren't allowed their vulnerability.
Absolutely. See, that's a great point.
And when little boys cry, they get screamed at.
I think those are great points. Names. And that's exactly the sort of thing I like to bring out, because ultimately what I want is healing. Yes, exactly.
Total psychological abuse.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
And as a result, it makes for people who exercise violence later in order to feel their power.
Well, Amy Schumer made a good point of that.
What'd she say?
In her recent Netflix.
She's so good.
Where she's pregnant. But that's a separate part of the show. Anyway, the new Amy Schumer on Netflix, she addresses how, like, we scream at little boys when they're crying. Like, don't cry. Be a man. Toughen up. She's like, we try to toughen up these boys so they don't get picked on in school. And then they come to school, and then the first thing they do, what happens when a boy pulls your hair in school? What do people say? Oh, he must like you. And then you think to yourself, oh, so it's not a bad thing? Well, oh, okay. And then it's like, Mom, Billy knocked the books out of my hand today. Oh, I think someone has a boyfriend. Oh, mom, Mike pushed me down the stairs at school. You're going to prom. And then she was like, saying, you know, and then we know all these women who get stuck in these relationships saying, you know, well, you don't understand him. When we're alone, it's really different because, you know, he humiliates me, but no one's around, so it's kind of okay. She said something like that.
Right.
But the whole point was that we brutalize these boys for being themselves and natural in their normal, vulnerable state. And then they get encouraged to do that, and it just becomes a vicious cycle, basically.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to look at it. So hey, maybe we're writing the piece right now. So maybe there'll be a song, maybe there'll be an opera.
We're just intellectualizing.
Me Too, the 7-minute opera. You know, and it starts off with crying boys. I don't know.
Oh my God, can you imagine?
It could be quite good.
Like an all-boys choir.
Aww.
Like, you can't always get what you want.
But sometimes.
You know, like, yeah.
You just
get what you need.
You get kicked in the knee.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. So that's my challenge. I need to figure that out. Yeah. So it's that kind of stuff. I want to create healing. I want it to be all super positive and fun. Mm-hmm. Cause I'm a very dark person. but that show in particular, I think was super successful because it twisted people's minds.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what I want to do.
And that's what they were paying for.
Yeah. And men really, really liked it. And it made them think about things that they'd never thought of because they weren't sitting there defending themselves.
Right.
It actually went in. It made them more absorbent.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine. Because I don't want to be offensive. I want you to think about it and say, well, what do you think? I don't know. Can we all get along?
Yeah.
You know. And for the most part, most of these laws are very inconvenient to men too, because women like sex.
Yeah.
So in terms of the hetero thing, you know, so that's one of the reasons why I like, we just watched, Michelle Wolf's,
latest one, Nice Lady.
She's called. Hilarious, but it's Superman bashy. And there's a lot of that. And so it's funny and it's going to get her laughs, certainly from hetero women.
Mm-hmm.
But is it really going to fix anything? And that's something that she may not care about, and that's fine. I certainly laughed and enjoyed it, but it's not my goal.
I sort of felt like she was an equal opportunity basher in that, though.
Not really. I mean, she was funny because I'm, you know, Miss Hetero Lady here. It's like, ah, I get all your jokes. It's fine. And she gives a good delivery, and, you know, and she also understands that she's kidding. I get that. But I don't know that everybody else does.
Well, she said flat out she didn't like Hillary Clinton. She went
No, but that's the joke, is that they sound the same.
Naked girls of Instagram, like the nipple thing.
Oh, whatever.
The whole,
yeah.
My point is, like, I don't think she was entirely man.
Oh, and I just saw this Broadway play, What I Love About the Constitution.
Uh-huh.
And my boyfriend came with me. And his mother's a lesbian. He is so chill. He's really just up with ladies in so many ways. And, mm-hmm. and so we went to this very special viewing of it where there were like 130 women in the theater, the Helen Hayes Theater, who were part of the ERA. I don't know what they're doing. Because did you know that the ERA has not been ratified in all the states?
That's upsetting.
Not everyone knows that.
Oh my.
So they were there to support the fact that we need the ERA, the Equal Rights Amendment, to get, you know, accepted in the United States of America. Anyway.
America.
Yeah. So this is a one-woman show. She's got a couple people on stage with her here and there. But basically, it's a very fun monologue, very well-written. Heidi Schreck does What I Love About the Constitution. And it ends up really turning into a lot of very upsetting stories of why women need equal rights.
Hmm.
You know, like Scalia.
Horrifying ghost stories around the campfire.
Yeah, and the Supreme Court.
Oh.
Yeah. So, my poor man, whom I won't mention because he's very private.
Yes.
But
he likes to keep it that way.
Yes. It was a house full of women and like three dudes. And he was really good about it. But he said, God, I just still feel so beat up. Even though he's totally not the guy that they're talking about.
Yeah.
And it's going to make anybody defensive. And he was very nice about it. But I was a little embarrassed for him. And that's something I don't want to feel. I want to feel like if a guy can come to my show and know that he's a good person, that in no way he feels attacked. And if somebody's a douchebag, they're going to have bad dreams. And that's fine by me.
Yeah.
But if you're a solid person, it's just not dreams. You. Yeah, it's just not you. You know, it's cool. You're going to be walk out just fine. You can laugh and go, oh, that's a drag. You know, yeah, it sucks to be you, you know. But where it's not just some man bashing thing at all. I don't think it's unfair. I love men.
No, it's not what equality's about. Equality's not about bashing men.
It shouldn't be. It's ridiculous. There's so many good men. And then to suddenly say, men this, men that, is just as bad as any other generalization.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So so that's the challenge with sex crimes, because so many
of these things. It's reverse sexism.
Well, yeah. So
there's a word for it, though. I think they call it misandry.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't roll off the tongue as nicely as misogyny.
Or yeah, there's misogyny, and then there's... So well, misandry... Sounds like it could be a drag name.
It's just a drag name.
Like Miss Andre.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. But I would love to meet Miss Andre. That would be fascinating.
It could be an alter ego.
Really incredible drag queen.
Could be your alter ego for a moment. You could do a piece.
No, no. My alter ego is Feminist Jones.
Oh.
There was a brief moment where I got kicked off Facebook because they didn't believe my name was Velocity Child.
Oh, right. I remember this.
The only way to access my fucking account was to, they said I had to put my name back to where, what my real name, but it, like at that point it was legally Velocity Child. So I said, well, fuck you guys. I'm Feminist Jones. But I spelled feminist like with a PH and a Y.
Yeah.
So just to confuse the algorithm or whatever.
Uh-huh.
So it was Feminist Jones for like 6 months.
I remember this.
And then they figured it out and they shut down my account. And I was like, wow, shit. Now they want my real name. I'm like, well, fine. I'm Velocity Child. And they're like, no. Now you have to give us a passport or some sort of ID and prove your this and that.
Why do they care? Why do they care?
And then they just tortured me and they wouldn't give me back my account. And fortunately, I was able to reach the lawyer that did the legal name change, and he wrote just a lovely scathing letter to FB, Facebook folks, and he, within hours, my account was reinstated, and they wrote a letter to me finally going, fine, reinstated, but don't ever change your name again, meh. I was like,
why do they
care? You were the reason I had to change it to Feminist Jones in the first place, because you didn't believe I was Velocity Child, you fucking douchebag. Way to go. Blame the victim. Yeah. Ugh.
And so if like, your name was
you
like...
You get your account back, but don't you ever change your name again. And I was like,
why?
I wasn't trying to change it in the first place. You guys told me Velocity Child wasn't real. So I was like, fine, I'm Feminist Jones, I guess.
Right.
Well, the weird part was... The whole thing got shut down initially. Shot down, not shat down. Oof, God, can you imagine?
Ew.
Big cow pie from God. No. The whole thing got The whole thing got shut down initially because, and I suspect, it was like Black Friday and that year. And I think it was like the year was 2014 or something.
Uh-huh.
And the president of Turkey came out and announced that all women are inferior to men, like in his, like, you know, address to his nation.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, that's horrible. So I went looking. It was really hard to find the article, but I found it like on like a European newspaper, and it was there. So I shared it. And because it was Black Friday, and it was the day after Thanksgiving, I said something like, you know, who left the turkey out in the rain? You know, and then I post the president of Turkey saying that all women were inferior to men.
Someone like, left the turkey in the rain.
Yeah. And then like a friend of mine called me 5 minutes after posting that. I got off Facebook and then a friend of mine called me and said, are you okay? I was like, what do you mean? He's like, your Facebook account is gone. I was like, what? And that's how I found out they decided that Velocity Child wasn't a real name. And then I changed it to Feminist Jones. And that's how the whole thing started. So to me, it's very suspicious.
But if your name was Ann Smith,
that I post this article and within 5 minutes,
it has to be real.
My name's not real. And then, so I'm like, that's why I chose Feminist Jones, because of the turkey left out in the rain on Black Friday.
You could post it as I don't know, Mary.
Mary Miss Andry.
Mary Miss Andry.
Yeah, it's got to have a little, you know.
Yeah, little spark. Not just Smith.
It's got to be showy. So you have witchy things. Can we talk about them?
Sure.
I know this is the other petal in your flower.
<That's> the lovely. Other trick like up your sleeve. But different.
Yeah. You make syrups and potions and witchy blends.
So, Larissa Fuchs.
You're an alchemist of sorts.
I'll take it when other people call me that, for
well,
sure.
Well, I'm calling you that. Okay, so cool. That's fair. Sorceress, too.
Sure.
Yeah.
When I'm not sitting around feeling depressed or whatever.
Oh,
the depressed sorceress. Not
all
today.
All geniuses get depressed.
And it just
it's
makes
fine.
Me laugh, because we were talking about that before. I'm a sorceress. Well, not today. I'm just eating leftovers. that's actually a very funny concept. I think I'm going to throw that in. Everything is fodder now for Death is Dangerous.
Yeah.
The depressed sorceress. Yeah, well, I don't know. Not today. But actually, Larissa Fuchs probably is rather a good sorceress. She makes all kinds of things happen.
Mm-hmm.
She is the proprietress of the Gemini and Scorpio events. And she asked me to make special potions for her last autumn.
Mm-hmm.
And she wanted custom things. And she wanted blends for her bar. And so I said, why don't I make custom blended syrups with a little story explaining what the magical attributes are of the herbs, their history, their medicinal uses, and then you can mix them with any alcohol you want and make all different kinds of cocktails.
Right.
And at the very least, you mix it up with vodka, it'll be fine. But who knows? Some things might be nice with whiskey or rum or whatever.
Yeah.
So I made her three to start, and it was lust, wisdom, and prosperity.
Mm-hmm.
Now, lust was the first blush of lust, I decided, when I finally created this flavor that had tons of red fruit, raspberry, cranberry, hibiscus.
Pomegranate?
Did it have pomegranate? I think that was one of the things it didn't have. But it had a bunch of other things. Hibiscus was one of the mainstays, a bit of vanilla.
And you added, like, aphrodisiacs.
Did that one have aphrodisiacs? What? Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I'm trying to remember. I can't even remember the recipe right now. I have to look.
So.
Well, the thing about lust and that flavor was it was, yes, it could be for a lover, but it could also be for that last red candy. And you want it more than anything. You want it more than your brother. And you're going to take it and it's yours. And that feeling that you have even when you're a kid for a thing that you want.
That lust for life.
It's lust for life. And it's maybe naughty. You know, maybe you shouldn't buy that purse.
Whatever. Oh, I know that.
Maybe you shouldn't go on Amazon at 2 a.m., but you want that thing. Yeah. What does that taste like? So I would conjure up these images, and then I would tell the people around me for her for this event that she created. I said, close your eyes and now taste it. This is that lust. And they'd go, oh, that's it. Oh, my God. That's it. And then I did a wisdom one.
And was that the one with the saffron?
Saffron is prosperity because it's one of the most expensive
really
herbs in the world.
One. Okay, that makes sense, yeah.
So saffron and jasmine, and that was also delicious.
I remember that was my favorite.
And it's gorgeous because the little threads float around in it. And they
it's really
look,
pretty.
Yeah, it's really pretty. And then wisdom is a...
It looked like sunflower juice.
Made of the sun.
I had that feeling.
It had that feeling of the sun.
And then the other one?
Wisdom. That was Prosperity. Wisdom. Wisdom was the sage and green tea with mint. Mm-hmm. And but it was a strong sage flavor, and mm-hmm. I wasn't sure that people would go for it. It was one of the favorites. So then at her event, Alchemist Kitchen contacted me, and I did.
I adore them.
And they're they're really cool. Fun. And so I went there, and I did a whole presentation with a bunch of different things. And mm-hmm. the aphrodisiac is Volupta, which has every aphrodisiac I can think of.
Yeah.
And that's also good for jogging or anything else where you need to be in motion.
Invigorated.
It will invigor you. Invigorate you. So I did that for their Season of the Witch presentation. And then I also did some big Halloween parties and created all these custom blends. And and then I could also do things on the spot, which was fun. And I would explain. So it's sort of like a combination bartender TED Talk something.
Right. And what you do is very exclusive VIP and word of mouth.
Yeah, because I'm otherwise a terrible bartender.
Right.
Like if you're like, okay, three cosmos, a beer, nah, 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 glass of wine. Like you're not, I'm going to be like, okay, here's your glass of wine. What else? Like I'm, do not make me bartend your event. But I will do a TED Talk and
hit you. And I'm surprised you haven't yet.
Imbibe you. Well.
The Power of the Apothecary by St. Eve.
Never. Blah, blah, blah. The House of St. Eve. Yes.
So, okay, real quick.
Talk to me.
Where can we find you in cyberspace?
I don't know.
You don't want to even throw a website? Come on now.
Death is Dangerous is now a website. I don't even have my email on there. Basically,
what about the...
I need to redo my website.
Okay.
But I'm there and you can find me. And it's thesainteve.com. And it's all spelled out because my alias that I'm using for a lot of this stuff is Gabrielle St. Evenson. All E's, by the way.
So it's
thesainteve.
.com.
Right now. And I have websites for all the different projects. And you're going to find me at all of them. And they all go to the same address.
So it's like your hub, your central.
It is my hub. And it's where I put all my old. And site. It's woefully, but see now because I'm doing this radio show, you're putting a little fire under my butt. So maybe by the time this airs,
right,
it's all super fresh and exciting.
Well, you have a week.
I'm going to Febreze the crap out of my website and make it okay and make sure all the links work and that's relatively current.
And you gave me some song recommendations that I see here.
Whenever I'm around you, I think of water. I asked
you what was inspiring you lately, and you were thinking definitely there's definitely a water theme here. 10,000 Emerald Pools,
yes,
by Bjorns.
Borns.
And then Whale
by Yellow Ostrich,
and then Nice Weather for Ducks
by Lemon Jelly.
I love that name. That's really good.
All the ducks are swimming in the water.
Now, I'm seeing we have only 10 minutes left here. So, folks, you'll definitely hear at least two out of these three tonight. And I highly recommend looking up Saint Eve, S-A-I-N-T-E-V-E, on iTunes. And the album is called Elixir. It's ahead of its time and a true gem.
A long time ago.
It doesn't matter. It was ahead of its time, so it's very relevant now.
It's super current.
It's so relevant. Right? Suki agrees. Suki has entered the room. She's making her presence known. It is not a radio show.
She's a Siamese cat.
Without
She's very
Suki
vocal.
Bumping up against the microphone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, yeah, and thank you for listening to Follow Me. Yeah. Oh, Suki.
Suki, you're such a terrible engineer.
Girl.
She loves the tripod.
Body slamming the tripod. The delicious chocolate booty. Her little brown butt.
Oh.
Okay. So.
This has been a pleasure.
Likewise. Trying to be graceful after the butt body slam. Now she's all... She's all sprawled out on the carpet. Yeah. She's made her presence known. And so have you, astoundingly. It was so wonderful to have this tete-a-tete. Here she comes.
And here she comes.
Thank you, folks, for listening to Fallen Woman. You can hear archive shows at fallenwoman.com. And we are at radiofreebrooklyn.com.
Thank you for listening to Fallen Woman on Radio Free Brooklyn.
Yes.
are swimming in the water. Alder, 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 alder. All the ducks are swimming in the water. Alder, 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 alder. All the ducks are swimming in the water. Alder, alder, alder.
I am Velocity Child, and every Friday at the stroke of midnight, ride the broomstick with Fallen Woman. A weekly psychic fusion of forward thoughts, far out ideas, magical foray, and spellbinding song. Stirring up the cauldron at Radio Free Brooklyn.